Why are you bullying me?
We sat for 4 hours. And you gonna stand some allegations? You. The is wrong with you? This is my life.
All right, folks, joining us right now, Dr. Umar Johnson. Welcome back to the show. First and foremost, it was amazing looking at this whole reaction. I mean, I'm sitting here, again, people asking all kind of questions. Things are blowing up. And so many people jumped on saying he's not a real doctor. Okay. Where did you graduate from and you got your PhD?
My undergraduate education was from Millersville University. 3 degrees, political science, psychology, master's in school psychology. Subsequent to that, Pennsylvania certification as a school psychologist, which I've been for almost 20 years. After that, I got my educational leadership master's degree and principal certificate from Lehigh University in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And I earned my doctorate degree from the Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine, American Psychological Association approved program, one of the top psychology training programs on the East Coast. 6 degrees in all. And anyone can lift up a telephone and call and verify those degrees.
So when you see folks who question your degrees, your response?
It's because my narrative is a whole lot different from the average mainstream black scholar. I don't parrot the narrative that the American social order wants black scholars to parrot. I tell the truth. I don't scratch unless I itch, and I don't dance unless I like the music. And because they're not used to having someone with a traditional education posit non-traditional views, people will automatically start to question his credentials. How did he get this far believing what he believes in? Well, you have to play the spook who sat by the door. When I got accepted into those three universities, they didn't know what I believed in. They didn't know what I stood for. But as time went on, it revealed itself. But I'm unapologetically African, so I'm not really concerned with what people think about me personally. I have a job to do, and that is to awaken the sleeping consciousness of African people, not just in America.
Radio, DJ.
One nation, one station.
Okay, all right, guys. You know when you hear that sound bite, it's time to grab your non-alcoholic libation plus pen and paper, because it's time for the live stream edition of the Just Shoe Round Show. You're hanging out with Valerie Denise Jones, totally enamored by the fact that you would take time out of your busy schedule to listen to this episode. Big shout out to Feel of the Great, plus those of you who leave positive comments down in the comments section, and the people who hit the like and subscribe button. Stay tuned for this week's e-blast, where I will be giving a huge shout out to those of you who support and donate to the show. All right, guys, let's get started. We are going to address a few viral topics with someone who fully understands the art of war.
Peace and love, Sister Dr. Umar Johnson. Thanks for having me on the broadcast.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you. So what's your energy level like? Anything going on
I'm
that
great.
You want to...
I'm doing well.
Okay.
You know, all is well. Always a struggle, but all is well. Just doing what we can to try to raise the $1 million that we need to restore the Frederick Douglass Marcus Garvey Academy in Delaware.
Okay. All right. And can we find all the updates on the website? I was on the website and I botched up the bio just a little bit because I was scrolling down. But is all that information on the site, like how people can support you and find out information regarding anything upcoming? I know the tickets is there and other links, but is there anything specific that people should look for?
Not specific for brothers and sisters who want to donate to the school. The information is on the site as well as on my Instagram and Twitter, which they can follow at Dr. Umar Johnson, as well as on my Facebook at Dr. Umar E. Fatunde. We are only accepting check and money order donations for the school, and they can make that payable to FDMG Academy, P.O. Box 9634. Again, that's P.O. Box 9634, Wilmington, Delaware, 19809. There is no electronic means to donate at present. It is all check and money order donations. We need $1 million to renovate all four buildings. As you know, we have a campus. But even if we raise as little as $250,000, we can renovate at least the small school building, because as you know, we have two schools. So the smaller school is the Marcus Garvey building, and if we raise an additional $250,000, we can renovate that building, which would allow us to get started with educating our young men next summer.
okay? Many blessings regarding that. Please keep up with Dr. Omar by joining him on social media. If you need to reference any of this, he is on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Also, if you go to his site, there is an email address, dromarjohnson@yahoo.com. You can call him at 1-844-4, Dr. Omar. And then, like I said, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram is all Dr. Omar Johnson. Facebook is the name I always botch up because it's such a beautiful tribute to you, but they can go to the website to see that. Now, Dr. Omar, there's a lot of stuff that is going on, and I always try to redirect the energy because once upon a time, not too long ago, I kind of lost my temper on air, and that is not my personality. So I did a lot of repenting behind the scenes because I just, you know, when I try to be professional, you know, I kind of pray to God that that energy is reciprocated. And we had a little situation on air and that went viral. But I think there was a lot of teachable moments in it. Now, I'm not going to ask you to comment on that. I want you to literally comment on the professionalism, like how you handled like public ridicule. So I'm going to play a clip, an audio clip, and I just want you to extrapolate any good from it so that, again, when people are on air, I want you to speak to etiquette and also any professionalism or anything else that you'd like to say regarding said audio. Is that okay that I do that while we wait for the judge? Sure. Okay, so here is the first, and guys, this is all over YouTube. This is actually Malik Yoga on the route, and something happened, and I'm going to ask questions. I'll explain after this.
Well, looks like Malik Yoga was doing his press runs, and he was sitting down with the route, and he had some issues. He was responding. They asked him to respond to a Facebook post by Mariah Lopez Ebony where she accused him of soliciting sex from her when she was 13 and 16 years old, and Malik Yoba responded that he didn't know her, I have no idea who she is, and things went left, okay? Apparently, according to Malik Yoba, he sat down with the person interviewing him.
Blogsworth.
Yes, Blogsworth, and they had a whole conversation about what was going to happen in this interview. Here's what he said.
What do you say to trans black women who say that you're centering yourself and that you're being opportunistic?
So you and I sat for 4 hours the other day.
Correct.
And we decided how we were going to approach this.
We went through a number of questions.
We decided how we were going to approach this.
And we're actually recording, and the more you talk, the better, the worse it looks for you. That's
really?
What I'm saying. Yes, sir.
This looks bad for me.
Yes, because I'm asking a number of questions.
We're done, bro.
Okay.
All right, so that's the end. Dr. Omar, a lot of people are using their camera phones to go live, and I don't necessarily know how the world looks at us. If they look at us, you know, positive or negative as people of color. So I wanted to ask you, being that it's so easy to go viral, so easy to, you know, use your phone as a source of media, what is the best tactic to employ when you're being ambushed during an interview or you feel like you're being targeted, you know, by people?
It is a part of the journey. Unfortunately, you know, I think that black media in particular has fallen far away from its original message. When I go back to the first newspaper, Freedom's Journal, that was published by black people in 1831, I want to say, maybe a little sooner, by John Brown Russell, one of the fathers of Pan-African nationalism, and Samuel Cornish, the purpose of the paper was to educate and to advocate for black people. So it spoke up against slavery. It spoke up against lynching. It spoke up against the injustices, educated our people on different things that were being done to disenfranchise us that were not being reported in major white newspapers. And when I look at black media today, it has gotten away from that. Very few media sources, professional and unprofessional, are still dedicated to the original thrust of black media being to educate and advocate. I see a lot of sensationalism. I see a lot of gossip chasing. I see a lot of character assassination. You know, stuff that, whether it's true or not, isn't going to help black people one bit get to where we need to be. Now, getting to your specific question, for me, again, it comes with the trade. It comes with the craft. It's part of the journey. I've learned to deal with it. Anyone in the public eye has to be able to gracefully deal with it, while at the same time, I do reserve the right to withdraw myself from any context or dialogue or environment where I feel that my character is taking an unnecessary beating. So I do think you have an obligation to clear the air about certain things. So when people said I was stealing the money about the school, okay, yes, you're going to get a few questions about that. But once you clear that air several times, you're still being asked the same question, then that's when either I would say I'm going to decline or I'm just going to remove myself from the interview because there's enough material out there on me answering that question. Are you really related to Frederick Douglass? There's enough material on me out there answering that question. Do you really have a doctorate degree? There's enough material out there on me answering that question, not to mention you can call the degree-granting institution and find out for yourself. So I think once you've dealt with a situation, if people continually harass you about that when you've already cleared it up, I do think it's okay to remove yourself. Of course, we're always given the burden as being public personalities to take the high road, to be patient, to always be graceful with our responses, but it can get to be a bit much at times. It really can. And I've seen a lot of public personalities get, you know, ambushed in ways that I think are not appropriate. And I think that just as we have to maintain our etiquette and maintain our professionalism and our grace, I also think that there should be standards for the media as well.
All right, I appreciate that. Here's the last audio clip right now. I'm looking for the judge so I can bring him in because I want the two of you to talk. But this is how he responded, and I have one more question I'd like to ask you when it becomes, you know, a little too real. So here we go.
All right. Well, it got a little worse from there as things escalated. And he just didn't appreciate the questions, I guess, that he felt like they hadn't agreed on. He wanted to talk about policy and focus on that. And I guess he had broken down what was going to happen in each part of the interview. And then here's what happened with Blogsworth.
We sat for 4 hours. And you're going to stand for allegations? You. What the is wrong with you? This is my life.
Can you guys not? This is life.
That's up, man.
What
the is wrong with you, man? We sat for 4 hours!
All right.
Don't tell me I want the cards. You can't use any of it. There's no releases signed. I want the cards out of all these cameras.
We can't give you our cards.
All right, so the people that were in the room, by the way, while this is happening, it was two video producers for The Root, two people who were representing Malik Yoba, which were his 18-year-old daughter, and also his 18-year-old daughter, and The Root's senior video producer, Malik Yoba's publicist, and The Root's video producers. They all tried to calm him down, but he was very upset. He continued to curse until he left the studio. Now, he is supposed to be co-hosting a workshop leading up to the Transnational Visibility March this Thursday. And
nope, not until you go to an anger management workshop, Malik. Okay, learn how to control your temper and your emotions.
Yeah, even when he was up here, he just didn't want to address certain things. I guess he felt like it took away from the conversation that he was trying to have.
He's been in the business too long to be reacting like that.
He doesn't like people saying what social media said. He doesn't like social media at all.
The charges and allegations against him. I think when he came up here, he just wanted to talk about the conversation of him being attracted to trans women and how that affected and having that open conversation. He didn't want that conversation.
But if somebody brings up the allegations, just say they're not true and keep it moving.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, you make it a bigger deal when
exactly.
You get mad.
You've been in the business way too long to be reacting like that. And when you react like that, people will automatically think you're guilty. But I also have two questions. What were Blogsworth and Malik Yoba talking about for 4 hours? And also, who had the best This Is My Life? R. Kelly or Malik Yoba?
I'm fighting for my life!
Okay.
This is my life!
All right, so Dr. Umar, last question, and it's a loaded question. When you, because I feel this all the time, the cross is very heavy, very, very heavy. It's a very heavy burden to carry. And when you're trying to do something good and people are constantly mocking you or taking situations lightly and you act out, me as a black woman saying, hey, you're angry. You're an angry black woman as opposed to being passionate or, you know, when you've gone beyond a certain point, and you're human. And you know, people say, well, you need anger management. But even Jesus in the Bible, those of you who believe in the Bible, you know, you act out. When you feel like you've just, you're doing so much for people and you've given so much of yourself, and people just keep trying to figure out ways to extrapolate even more energy, what do you do when you're in that dark place and you do want to act out and you do want to curse people out? Again, it's just a teachable moment. Is there anything you'd like to say to people, being that you've been in that hot seat and was able to maintain your composure throughout? Just do you want to speak to it at all? I'm going to leave it there.
Well, the first thing that I would say, and, you know, I'm not a big follower of Malik Yoba. I do think he's a pretty good actor. I don't know that much about him, you know, but, you know, from the days of New York Undercover to Empire to other things I've seen him on. But to some degree, I can understand his anger. Accusing a black male of pedophilia in the age of Me Too is a very, very serious accusation. I mean, Bill Cosby is languishing in a jail right outside of Philadelphia where I am because of accusations that were not proven in court, but yet he was still convicted of. You know, Tavis Smiley, Morgan Freeman. We can go down the list of famous black men who probably have a lot more to lose than Malik Yoba, whose careers were tarnished and or destroyed, who end up in prison because of these type of allegations. Because we live in an era, and we have to be clear about something when it comes to black men. From the beginning of time, this mythology of the black man as a crazed, undisciplined sexual predator has always been with us in American culture. It was fabricated out of thin air to justify the narrative of the black man as an animal, to justify the narrative of the black man as a perpetual criminal. Let's keep in mind, most lynchings, which ravaged America from slavery to Reconstruction all the way up and even until now, many lynchings were justified under the false allegations of a black man having taken advantage of a white woman sexually. And in almost every one of those cases, it was even admitted by the lynchers that the man was not necessarily guilty or convicted, just suspected of being sexually inappropriate with a white woman. So we got to be clear that in America, the accusation is enough to crucify a black man. He does not have to be proven guilty. The white man has to be proven guilty, but all you have to do is suspect the black man of sexual indecency, and that is enough to convict him. And we got to be clear about that. While at the same time, you see the owner of the Boston, the New England Patriots, Bill Kraft, I don't know if his legal situation is over, but it's clearly been swept under the rug. Harvey Weinstein, charges have been dropped. I mean, there's clearly a double standard in the way that sexual improprieties are dealt with as it relates to black men versus white men. So I can understand his anger because, again, for the black man, you don't have to be proven guilty. You have to be proven innocent. So I do understand where he's coming from, because his career can be destroyed with those types of allegations. But at the same time, I do agree with what Charlamagne said, and that is that you do have to be careful with the way in which you do conduct yourself, because that type of reaction will make people feel that you are guilty. However, as I said earlier, if people keep bringing it up over and over again and you've already clarified it, I can see the anger. I guess for me, I'm kind of wondering what context under which he reacted with such rage. To me, it appeared that he thought that he may have been private, that there may have been a private expression of anger. I don't think he would have done that knowing he was on camera. So I think that particular rant was probably taped without his knowledge, which brings another point too, and that is when you're in the public eye, you always have to assume you're being taped. That is a mindset change that I had to make last year, because I had video surfaced on the internet, nothing that was damaging, nothing that I would be unwilling to claim. But there were people who would tape me audio tape or videotape answering questions about, say, another person in the conscious community, or questions about very sensitive topics. And I may have made a joke, or I may have offered my honest opinion about another person in the conscious community who I thought and believed, you know, that they were nothing but con artists, not really concerned about helping black people, and it would make its way on YouTube. Although it was my truthful opinion, and I would stand by it, it's not necessarily something I wanted to make public. And these are some people who claim to be conscious, who care about black people, who will set you up and take you without your permission and then share it to the world. So now I operate under the assumption that I'm always being taped, because that is the best way to function in order not to get blindsided. And when you're in the political realm, as I am, I'm not an actor. I'm not an entertainer. That's not what I do. My life is very much real. What I'm striving for is very much real. And because I would probably be classified as a political leader or political organizer, I have to take even more care in what I say and do and how I react, because the power structure, as well as jealous black people, would go out of their way to misrepresent me so as to castigate other black people from following and getting behind my message. So I would have to be even more careful than even a Malik Yoba, because I'm not in entertainment. For them, they're concerned about the loss of reputation and money. I'm not concerned about the loss of reputation and money. I'm concerned about the loss of the energy that is galvanizing black people to get behind my fight against the school-to-prison pipeline, get behind the funding of the Frederick Douglass Marcus Garvey Academy, get behind the National Independent Black Parent Association, get behind the Black Wall Street West Africa Project. I have serious projects that I'm trying to create to benefit our people. So for me, I could care less about my reputation in public. I could care less about the money that I make. For me, it's about not alienating black people who I need to support the mission.
Right. So I just want to make it clear, Dr. Umar, is all of this worth it to you?
Is all of it worth it for me? Absolutely, and more.
Okay.
I look at many of my heroes, most of whom are dead now, nearly all of whom were murdered. Nearly everyone had to go through character assassination, imprisonment, and unfortunately, they were, in most cases, set up by people who they trusted in almost every case. I look at Malcolm, El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz, a Pan-Africanist, child of the Garvey Movement. Had to go through prison, character assassination, assassinated by the government with the help of jealous Negroes in the black community. Dr. King, same thing, assassinated characterologically as well as physically with the help of jealous people. I go to Africa. I look at Thomas Sankara, the first president of Burkina Faso, assassinated with the help of his own friends. You know, I look at Patrice Lumumba, probably my greatest Pan-Africanist hero from the continent, assassinated with the help of friends. You know, so if they can give their life for this, Nat Turner, if they can give their Gabriel Prosser, if they can give their life for this, then certainly I can give my reputation for this. So it is worth it. There is no price to be paid that is too high for the liberation of African people.
Thank you. Thank you. I definitely appreciate that. At this time, I would love to, I'd like to bring in the judge, 323-646. 323-646. Welcome, welcome, judge. Okay, my thing is spinning. I don't know. Can you hear us?
I hear you. Now, hear you. Now, let me give you my take on what you ask about what do you do when somebody ambushes you. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I fear no evil because I'm the baddest MF in the valley. That's the way I always approach it, and it's my attitude. Bring it on. I'll beat you down. I'm the wrong person to try to do that to. So I like challenges. Some people don't. Relative to Malik, it's called P squared, punk squared. Punk came on and punked out. And a lot of this has got to do with the nonsense that's being spewed around now about, oh, it decided it wanted to be a girl, so if I deal with a boy with a dick, I'm not being gay because it called itself a girl. No, if it's got a dick, you got a dick. That's homosexuality. You go play around with them, and they got artificial enhancements up there on the top end, breast. You know, it's still got a penis, so you are gay. He's gay. He's pushing that LGBTQ alphabet, et cetera, thing. The Skittles are running amok trying to get everybody to taste the rainbow. I guess they like it crammed in their mouth and they get off on it, but I understand they do that a lot. Now, back to this other thing. It's a fair accusation. You got a 13-year-old boy who's a tranny, and he says, although the media says, she says, I don't buy that. It's got a penis. It was just a child. And it was engaged in pedophilic activity with Milk Yogurt. That's what I call him. So Milk Yogurt's dealing with a 13-year-old boy, according to the complaint filed with the police department now. On a regular basis, when the kid was 13, there was a layoff, and then back again, they're dealing with him when he's 15. And, Yogurt's dealing with him when he's 15, allegedly. And then we get back into, again, the complaint with the police that's been made by somebody that's 17-year-old, I understand. I may be wrong, and he may be 18. But that's pending. I'm a former judge, and I know you are innocent till you're proven guilty, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about criminality in this instance. We're talking about social approbation. And half of this nonsense is broached because people are talking about she when somebody declares they want to be a she. That doesn't cut it. Mother Nature / evolution / reality / whatever you want to call it, it said you got a penis and you can donate sperm. That makes you a male. You might not be a man because being a male is the first prerequisite for being a man, and being a man means you act in a masculine fashion because there's some dues you have to pay and be prepared to pay. Just like if you've got ovaries and a vagina and a womb, then you are a woman, or a female rather, and you're not a woman until you pay those womanly dues. It's manhood, womanhood. I'm about protecting womanhood and promoting manhood. So women need to be protected from this kind of nonsense, and most explicitly, they need to be protected from what's happened in sports where some little failed punk boy who doesn't want to compete against men wants to be a girl, so he gets to compete against a girl, break ribs, break jaws, break fractured skulls, break legs, break arms, and win the track meet because he's a punk and he can't deal with the people that he's supposed to be competing against, so he competes against women. So it's crazy. So something has to be done about this kind of deliberate confusion that I know is intentional because I heard about it 50 years ago when I was a senior in college in the 60s at UCLA when they were all over campus speechifying about how they were going to do it. They said specifically it would take 50 to 100 years. And then we've got categorical ignorance going on that they prey on. That thing you sent me about the military and the police warning people about the Joker movie, they're going back to 2012 saying that some fool went off and went berserk because he didn't have man in his soul and he shot up a movie theater behind the movie Joker / Batman and 7 years ago. So now they're expecting an outbreak of complete fools all over the country to go do it without realizing why that punk did it to begin with. He was unmanly, and they're trying to generate hysteria so they can get somebody to tune in or go buy this sorry paper, or it's just ignorance on behalf of the police department or the military. And by the way, the solution would be solved if the people in these theaters were armed, so if some punk jumped up to go play crazy, they could gun him down and send him to wherever he wanted to find out if it existed. You know, like right now, you will find out immediately if in fact there's a...
Hey. Can you please stop bothering my kid?
Sorry.
Arthur, I have some bad news for you. This is the last time we'll be meeting.
You don't listen, do you? You just ask the same questions every week. How's your job? Are you having any negative thoughts? All I have are negative thoughts.
And finally, in a world where everyone thinks they can do my job, check out this guy.
When I was a little boy and told people I was gonna be a comedian, everyone laughed at me. Well, no one's laughing now.
You can say that again, pal.
It's so awful, isn't it?
For my whole life, I didn't know if I even really existed. But I do. And people are starting to notice.
You think this is funny? Is this a joke to you?
Murray, one small thing.
Yeah.
When you bring me out, can you introduce me as Joker?
Send in the clowns.
They are corrupting this country, and they're destroying the black family, and they're using us as their little experimental guinea pigs so they can destroy the whole damn family structure of the country because they don't want it. They look at marriage as a form of slavery, and they are trying to destroy that institution. They don't want children raised like they're supposed to be, so they're trying to recruit them. And there's no getting around it. And then the other thing that's slimy, punk ass Milk Yogurt Malik Yoba brags about his youth programs. He's just trying to get his hands on some child's butt, allegedly, or that's an inference. Pull the covers
thank you,
off
thank
of
you.
Him. He does not need to be given the exposure to children. And there's a police complaint outstanding. Hey, why is he getting cut the slack unless the people that are turning the meat grinder on everybody else are right there standing next to him, holding hands with him or hunching him?
Experts believe only 50% of people who sexually abuse children are pedophiles. The other 50% are not specifically sexually attracted to children. They might lack the social skills to maintain appropriate emotional and sexual relationships and then look to children as a sexual surrogate. Abusers who are not attracted to children are said to suffer from an impulse control disorder. As with most mental disorders, pedophiles can be treated but not cured. Some can learn to control their urges through things like therapy, sometimes medication, but the attraction to children won't go away. There is preliminary research that shows pedophiles have less gray matter in their brains and a different brain structure than most other people. In other words, the preference for children might be in some ways hardwired. It's clear that pedophilia cannot explain all the cases of child sexual abuse, but it still poses a giant concern. If society applied the standards used for other mental health conditions, would more pedophiles seek treatment before...
I'm fighting for my life! Okay. This is my life!
We're always interested in what you have to say about our live broadcasts.
Please share your comments on our Facebook page or websites.